Die Groot Breakfast met Ruben en Sharunika op Groot FM 90.5.
Dames en heren, ek dink hierdie is waarschijnlijk die naaste dat ek sal gaan kom. Buiten dat ons een mevrou heel al die so by ons het, een voormalige mevrou heel al, is ek naaste dat ek gaan kom om met Ryan Reynolds en met al die mense te kan gesels. So what a privilege to have Margaret Gardner with us this morning.
Ruben will have that connection, the 6 degrees of separation with all the famous people in the US. What an honor. I just said this is a once in a lifetime opportunity for us here at Die Groot Breakfast to be able to have Margaret Gardner with us this morning. What an honor. I cannot believe you were only 18 years old when you wore the Miss Universe crown. Mm. But since then, we won't have time to give everything that you've done since then. Fashion editor, of course, mental health advocate, body positivity advocate, and now here as a novelist. And what a surprise and what an honor. Margaret, thank you so much for making time for us.
I really appreciate being here. It's wonderful to be back in South Africa. And I think it's a very important topic that we're going to be talking about.
Yeah, we're going to get to that. How often do you come over here?
You know, I slip into the country about twice a year.
Great.
My family usually come over and go to the game parks. Mm. And my son is a big rugby fan.
Right.
He knows all the names. He fights with my husband about the ref's calls.
Yes.
So, you know, we have lamb chops every Sunday night and all of that. Yes.
So are you saying that if we go over, if some people wants to take the refugee status to the U.S., they're going to have some lamb chops? Is that what you're saying, Margaret?
There is good lamb chops there, and they even have burrifos, but there not like South African burrifos.
But do you cook it over a proper braai or a barbecue, Margaret? That is the most important question we're asking you today.
Darling, I take the fifth.
That is the most American answer we could have gotten.
So tell us, are you currently still based in Los Angeles?
I am. And since you spoke about Ryan Reynolds, when I interviewed him, he wished me good luck for my book.
Oh, so come on. How cool is that?
How nice was that?
That is unbelievable. Yeah. Eh? And rubbing shoulders, I mean, you are still very much into journalism, reporting on all the stuff happening. I mean, you were at the Golden Globes, the Oscars as well. And I mean, you had to face those wildfires as well quite recently. Tell us about that.
It was quite daunting. Unlike an earthquake which comes and goes, this, you would see it coming, and it was terrifying. We had to repack, friends lost homes, there's complete devastation, and some people will never be able to build back.
Wow.
So it's sad.
That is the harsh reality of it. Crazy. Right, so let's get into it. I want to talk about, obviously, the book that you have recently published now, Damaged Beauty, Joey Superstar. And it's basically the character of Joey playing out, and it's all about the story of fame and the role of fame and so on. Do I have the facts correct? What is the book called?
You have some of it right.
Okay.
So The Tinsel is about fame and glamour and sex and drugs and all of those things that you see in the tabloids.
Yes.
But underneath, it's about a woman who's been damaged by the world and how she copes and how she uses poor coping mechanisms and how that self-damages. Mm. And I really wanted it as a launching pad for all women and men too to be able to have conversations about navigating personal pain.
Yeah. So give us an idea, if you're saying what caused the pain, if you can give us a little bit of a rundown of what's
well, I tell the centerpiece, I give away the story. Mm. But, you know, there are little acts of aggression that happen throughout the day. Mm. Somebody will say to you, you know, that shit looks awful on you, or you didn't get enough sleep, or you could have done that better. They undermine you. They make you feel less. You start to talk. They talk over you. They nullify what you say. There are so many small ways that people are made to feel less every day. And interpersonal relationships, when they go south, people can be quite awful to each other. And having gone through the Me Too movement, you know, this book is set in the mid-80s. So Harvey Weinstein, Britney Spears, Johnny Depp ripping up a hotel room. All of these things appear as part of my story.
Okay, so I want to chat to you just randomly about that. I mean, everybody would say, can I just be famous one day? Because it's all glitz and glam. It looks great. I mean, you look at all the newspapers now these days. Look at social media. Follow all your celebrity friends. It looks absolutely fantastic. Why would I not want to live that lifestyle? What would you say on that?
Well, Charlie Sheen, who also has gone through his own problems, said, people prepare you for failure. You know, fall down, get up. They don't prepare you for success. And often you go into the white hot flame of people believing they own you. They have the right to tell you how to look, how to behave. And once they get the picture, they move on. They don't really care about you. They'll do whatever to get what they need from you and frame you the way they want. And then you're a commodity. You're selling yourself. And as such, people can throw you away or trample on you. I've been really lucky, but I've seen some shocking things. And I have to say, this book has sex, it has language, and it has drugs. And I have a big following who are God-fearing people. And they're going to be taken back by some of the language, because bad words in Afrikaans just sound, they sound worse. But this reflects a time in the world and a reality of what happens in the shadow of fame. And I think we need to talk about it.
Yes.
Because not only in fame, but in any walk of life, people are playing power games. And what happens to you when you're taken advantage of and you don't know how to fight back?
Let me tell you, I think a lot of people has felt that horrible sting of rejection in relationships, in auditions. I mean, let's talk about Hollywood. Going to live the American dream, going to Hollywood and to wherever to try and live the American dream, going for the auditions and be horribly rejected. And it's such a personal thing for so many people. And I mean, you've got to, you study BA psychology. I want to dive into that. I mean, the root of rejection and so on, and the cause of that, and the outflow of that. And I mean, again, it's going to refer back to the book as well. And we're going to get to that right after this.
Die Groot Breakfast met Ruben en Sharunika op Groot FM 98.5.
Still join, and let me tell you, I'm in awe with the stories that we're hearing today. Former Miss Universe Margaret Gardner. We're talking about the new book as well, Damaged Beauty, from, well, Joey Superstar. And that's going to stick with me, hey? That's that statement. We get prepared for failure, but not for success. Man, that's going to stick with me. That's something that, that stands out for me. Tell us about the story of Kate Moss.
So Kate Moss is, you know, partly an inspiration. When she was 17, she was naked on billboards around the world. And there's this really icky thing on YouTube where you see her 17 with her jeans quite low, and you just hear a man's voice say, pull it lower. And she looks at him and she says, no, I'm comfortable where it is. But another girl may have pulled her jeans lower.
Yes.
And then she just came out and shared that after all that attention at 17, she had the equivalent of a nervous breakdown. She had to step away, and it affects you. You know, you're in there, you're managing, you're smiling, and these things are happening to you, and you're sailing, but underneath, it's affecting you emotionally. And if you don't have a healthy coping mechanism, it turns inward.
So your BA in psychology, obviously very passionate about that as well. And I think, maybe explain it to us. What do you think is the root of this whole thing? Like you said, somebody would be able to say, right, that's the, there's the boundary. We're not crossing that boundary. And then there's somebody that would not be able to draw that boundary and don't have that control. What would you say is the difference in the root causes of the two cases?
Well, it's obviously a complex situation, but I think that need, want, and access. So if you really want something so badly, you will believe anything and do anything to get it. So if somebody says to you, give a little to get a little, and that involves sexual activity, and somebody is really desperate and unsure, they may do that. So many stars, after they become stars, have photos of themselves naked, shared by the photographer who took it. And that's because they thought they were in a private situation. They thought they were protected. And when you think and trust somebody else with your own mental health, your own physical health, you become in treacherous waters. And also, I was lucky. I was 16 in Paris modeling.
Wow.
And my mom, before I left, she said, Margaret, if you get over there and it's awful, or you fail, come back home. We love you. We loved you before. You don't have to stay there and feel bad about yourself. So I had that love. She also told me, you know, she gave me these little hints, like if you go to the bathroom and you come back, never drink from the same glass.
Yes.
And I was like, what? And you know, now you hear that stars even put rohypnol in a glass and then took advantage of women. So there's lots of like, unfortunately, we're talking about the gritty side, and my book covers that. And I think it's important to talk about.
I want to ask you, Margaret, in terms of that, you mentioned earlier as well that you went to the Me Too movement. It was massive. So many of these things coming out now. We read now, looking back on the biggest stars of today, how they were misused and sexualized at very young ages, and it was okay. Now we're talking about it, but where you are and the bird's eye view that you have of this celebrity community, do you think that there's a turning point, especially for young women now, in terms of the support? You had that support way back then. Yes. Is it better, for to put it plainly, is it getting better?
I think it is getting better in that it's not as rife. But I think that young influencers are very vulnerable because they've created something themselves, and people can prey on them quite easily because they don't have that protection. They're out there doing it themselves. Mm. And while there's a huge number that succeed, there are a lot of people that get exploited. So it's always about how badly you want something, what are you going to give away of yourself, and the is the cost? What is the cost to you ultimately?
And you know what? It all boils down to a few things for me. Specifically, like, just the need to be accepted, loved, and belonging is what we all ultimately, I would say, correct me if I'm wrong, but that's what we're all striving and living for, is just to belong and to be accepted and beloved.
I think that if you are lucky enough, like I was, to have that, then you can say no. You can say, no, I don't want this that badly, or you're crossing a line. But if you have no security, nothing to turn to in your hour, then you're in quicksand and anything can happen.
I want to get to cyberbullying as well, because I mean, you speak about that as well. I mean, I can see we're switching on something here. Tell us about that, because I mean, it's getting crazy. It's like a runaway train currently. What are we going to do about that?
You know, I really want people, before they write something, to pretend they're writing it to the person they love most.
Sure.
Their son, their daughter, themselves. And then to read it back as the person receiving it being the one you love. Would you still hit send? It was shocking to me because the level... it crossed a line. It's okay not to like my dress or me or think I should be brunette or fatter or sound weird. There are lots of like really tricky things they said. I'm happy with me. I thank God. Mm. You know, I had face cancer. I had a huge hole in my face. I had to take my skin and pull it across my face. Mm. I'm so glad I look like I do. Sorry, it doesn't meet your idea.
Yes.
But if you're doing this to me, you're doing it to other people. And that's why I leant into it. Because it's not okay. Just because you're in the public, it does not mean that anybody can treat you like a throwaway item. Mm. I'm a human. I have feelings. Mm. And I ask that if you interact with me or anyone, anyone, do it with respect. And especially if you are a godly person, many of these people are. I don't think God would want you making people feel bad. Mm. I really don't. Mm. So that's like, that's the big message.
And you know what? Another thing that stuck with me as well, I had a discussion with somebody a while back, also fairly famous, if I can call it that, saying that we were never created as people to be able to handle being worshipped. Okay?
Yes.
Because we are not equipped to handle that. God was made to handle that. We weren't. And that is why it makes it so hard being worshipped by people and being in the public eye. And then what happens is, and you can please help us with your background in psychology, but the highs become extremely high and the lows becomes extremely low. And that's where it all starts just goes haywire from.
It's very interesting because when you're dealing with these mega stars, like I am on a daily basis,
yes,
there's some patterns that come forward. Sometimes when really young people get immediate fame, some of them handle it and some of them go crazy. Mm. They become really arrogant. They put people down. When you're having an interview like this, they're sarcastic. They give bad answers. And those people, 3 years later, they're not there anymore. Mm. So it's from a psychological point of view, having been in front of the camera and behind the camera and then watched other people go through it. It's like a life lesson.
But it comes down to those words from Charlie Sheen that you mentioned earlier, that we are trained to, we know how to fail.
Yes.
But we're never trained how to succeed.
Because people don't say no to you, you know. There's some stars that you're not allowed to look at. Now, please, where in the world is that okay? Or you'll ask a question, and it's both extremes. And I think that what we have to do is pull it in and do what you said. Mm. We are normal people. Mm. Don't over-worship anybody. Don't pull people apart. Mm. Treat them like you want to be treated.
Sure. Die Groot Breakfast met Ruben en Sharunika op Groot FM 95. It just sounds incredible. I mean, for us just saying that we're speaking to you today is a privilege, but I mean, just listening to you saying, like, you interviewed Ariana Grande, and we're speaking off air now. And this is crazy. I mean, I've said this many times, and I'll be vulnerable as much as that. For us, I mean, we do get to do a lot of interviews, even international interviews and artists. And every single time we have to do an international, like, I get this sort of fear that comes over me. Like, I don't know what that is. It's just like, I'm so afraid that I might sound not informed enough, or I haven't done my research enough. Or
pressure to impress.
You're not impressing the guest enough, or you might ask the same boring questions that they've been asked a million times before. And it's something like, just listening to you, I've got so much respect for you for what you do in having to prep for all these on a frequent basis. It's unbelievable.
They usually give you 4 minutes.
Wow.
So you've got to be in and out.
Yeah.
And sometimes you ask a question and they take the full 4 minutes to reply.
Yes.
And usually that question was a polite question. And the really good question was the second one.
Yeah.
And you try and interrupt. And I once did that to a big action star. And he looked at me and he said, "Are you going to let me finish any questions?" And then you have to send that 4 minute interview to your editor. And she's like, "What did you do?" It's like,
let me tell you, we need to get to the book again. But just before I have to tell you the story. I'll be honest enough. I mean, I used AI once with an international star to get facts. I asked AI, give me 10 facts about this band, right? And most of them were correct, but there was that one. I picked that one fact and I asked the guy, is this true? It was so wrong. It was so incorrect. I felt like
luckily,
a total...
he was so nice about it. And his answer was, well, that's better than the original story.
Yeah. So let's just say it's true. Yeah, it was unbelievable.
Nice guy.
Yeah, it is. But it was a nice guy.
Speaking to that, as well as you used to be doing junkets, and that's four minutes is horrible. For us in radio, I'm getting like hot flashes thinking about it. But it comes down to that finding the little nugget of truth. Oh, yeah. And that's, I think, what's so important with the book as well, because at the end of the day, that was truth that you put onto pages.
Yes.
Does that come out of your journalistic background?
It's scary because I set out to write a fluffy romance, and this character became from an adjunct to a main character. She had a voice. She did things. I would be like, no, she can't do that. But there she went. And I think I've been observing. I love to watch people. And I think I've absorbed a lot. And so there was a lot to discuss. And as we said, I think this is going to start conversations.
How has the book been received up until thus far?
I'm so excited to say that in America, 5-star reviews.
Come on.
I was just like really delighted.
Wow.
And then something happened last night. We had the launch.
Yes.
And I read a chapter. And I've been terrified just because, you know, the language, the sex, the drugs. And a woman came up to me afterwards and she said, I've lived this. I can't wait to read your book. And I've never talked about it. And that was, those are, you know, you want people to read this book and then sit down with their friend and say, did you read Margaret's book? Has something like this ever happened to you? And then the friend to say, well, not that, but this. And then suddenly you're talking about secrets that people bury inside. And the thing is, when you're ashamed of something and you keep it hidden, it kind of leaks out inside you in ways you don't pay attention to. And this hopefully will help to dig it out.
Was that the why for the book?
I think it was. I really think it was. I've seen so many damaged people.
Sure.
And I've heard stories. Remember, I modeled when I was 16, when I wasn't protected.
Mm.
And things that I saw or heard or intervened in. Because that's the other thing. You see something and you go, that girl is not in control. And you go over and you start a conversation. And you say, by the way, do you want to come over here and get some coffee? So that she gets away from the person that's setting her up.
And I want to get to that specifically. And I want to use an example. I mean, somebody being trapped. Let's call it trapped. In not being able to control oneself and so on. And the inability to exit the situation.
I think that's the biggest thing. When I was, just before I won Miss Universe, my mom allowed me to tour with a group of models, and it was my first experience. An older model was looking after me, and she knew a friend, and she went up to his hotel room and took me with her. And she was sitting on the chair. There was no place to sit. I sat on the bed, and the guy with her friend sat next to me and started talking to me and started touching me, and I didn't know what to do. And finally, she looked over, and she realized I was in trouble, and she took me out. And later on, I met that guy as Miss Essay, and he said, oh, do you remember that night? And I said, yes, I do. But I was so lucky it happened to me because there was someone else in the room. Nothing happened to me, but it gave me an understanding that if you don't say, stop, no, don't touch me, right up front, people think it's okay, and then you're in a situation you have no control of.
Let me tell you, the first of a series, I believe, Damaged Beauty, Joey Superstar. It's available right now, eh?
It is. It's on shelves in exclusive books.
Right.
Available on Aledi. Okay. And, of course, Amazon International.
Margaret, I wish we had more time because there's so much more that we could have spoken about. Please, if you do come back again, come and join us again because there's, like I said, there's so many things we can still talk about. I didn't even touch on half of the stuff. I mean, I was still wanted to get to finding identity. Where do you find identity and stuff like that? But, I mean, I'm sure that some of this stuff will be touched on as well in the book. So, Damaged Beauty, Joey Superstar. Of Margaret Gardner. Thank you so, so much for taking the time to visit us here this morning.
Yes, and please, when you sneak into South Africa the next time, you are more than welcome. Like Ruben said, I think I don't think you realize how much you have to say, and we're looking forward to the entire series because I think there's a lot more to be said, to be unpacked, and lessons to be learned.
Thank you. Can I just say that I interview all over the world. This is one of the best conversations
I've had.
Oh, wow. Thank you.
You guys do an amazing job. Thank you for
Thank
your time.
You. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
One last question. I've always said that if I ever get to interview Avril Lavigne, I would say that is my radio interview, my radio career tick in the box, right? So if you do speak to Avril, just tell her there's this radio presenter in South Africa that would just love to, even if it's 4 minutes, Margaret, I'll take it.
If Ruben gets to interview Avril, he can die after that. That's fine. His life has been completed.
Then we're not going to make it happen because we want you on this earth.
Thank you
so much, Margaret. Appreciate you, Margaret.
Good breakfast with Ruben and Sharunika. Good FM 95.5.